Thank you for joining us today on the Reach Community Church podcast. We hope this week's message encourages and blesses you as we dive into God's Word together. Our mission at Reach is to see lives changed by Christ together in community by loving God, loving people, and reaching our world. We'd love to have you join us next Sunday. You can learn more about our mission at reachcommunitychurch.com.
Let me start by saying this. Everything I'm going to say today, every text I'm going to use, all the topics that I'm going to talk about applies to you ladies, okay? I'm going to talk a little bit more to the men, but everything that I'm saying, you can apply to you. So I don't want you to check out. I don't want you to think, okay, this is just men. And I'm not necessarily going to go through everything that it means to be a man other than this. God's called men to lead. And most of our issues in our world and in our country is because men don't lead. Period. Or they're so hyper-focused on what they want to achieve and do that all they do is lead themselves into what they want. And we want more than that. So here we go. Today, my title is Stay Ready. We're going to be in five verses in Luke 12. But before we get there, let me pose you with a quandary. And I'm not a prophet, and I'm not saying this is going to happen. So for all of you end times people, you're like, oh, yeah. Okay, which is kind of what this is talking about today, but I'm not going to tell you when it's going to be because no one knows. But if you knew, which we don't, if you knew that Jesus was returning in 1 week, what would you change in your life over the next 7 days? Would you change what you watch? Would you change what you say or how you say it, how you spend your time, your money, or even what you drink? And that list can go on and on and on. And the reality that the king of this universe is going to show back up. And I'm going to put a little pressure on us today because some of us are like, he's so loving. He doesn't care about anything I do. And that's not necessarily true. He is so loving that he sent his only son to die on the cross so that we could have life in him. My guess is that everyone in this room would change something. And if you're in this room and thinking, I don't need to change nothing, that's a whole nother topic. I ain't got time for you today. Okay? I ain't even got time for you today. Some of you would change everything. Some of you, if you knew that this person that we talk about every Sunday was coming back and he's going to set things in order, you would no longer think, I can just piddle around and do whatever, and then I'll get serious. Because almost every one of us at some point in our life thinks, I got time. I can do this later. Like, I can get this in order. Like, I can fix it. Why do we live like what we do and say doesn't really matter? Why do we put off the very things that we know we're called to do? Most of us, you know, in general, what you're supposed to be doing, most of us feel guilty because we're not doing some of those really important things. Because we tell ourselves, I'll deal with it later, I'm just too busy right now. Let me just tell you, men, Jesus is not going to listen to that garbage about you being too busy. Because let me just tell you, whatever you value, you make time for. 100%. You're like, Let's just look at your life for just a little bit. Whatever you value, you're going to take time to do. But one day we'll stand before the Father. In Matthew 12, Jesus confronts some religious leaders. He's been healing people, and they get in his face, or Matthew 12, they get in his face, and they're like, you're doing this by the power of Satan. And he goes right into this thing that he says, you'll be known by your fruit. We're known by our actions. We're known by our love. We're known by what we do. And out of the overflow of our hearts, our mouth speaks. If you're interested in what your life is about, just listen to your words or ask people to kind of pay attention to what you talk to and what words are coming out of your mouth, because your mouth is telling the real story of what's going on inside. And just a few verses later, he says that on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. Feel the weight of that. Because if you don't feel the weight of that and of your calling as a follower of God, you'll drift. And the problem with drifting is most of the time when you're drifting, you don't notice that it's an issue until you run into something. You don't notice that, you know, like, it's not that bad. But when you drift, everyone around you feels it. Jesus spends a significant portion of his teaching and talking about his return and judgment. I think 20 or 30% of what comes out of his mouth is talking about his return, judgment, therefore. And why does he do this? Because he wants people to be ready. So the question this morning is, my topic is, stay ready. Are you ready? Are you ready? Like if Jesus shows up right now, are there things that you're going to regret not doing? Are there things that you're going to regret that you are doing? Probably so. Let's pray before we get in the Word. Father, thank you for this morning. Lord, I pray that you would season all that I say with grace, all what you say with grace. But Lord, I pray that the conviction of our calling as followers of Jesus would weigh heavy on us. That we would no longer table it to something we'll deal with later, but this morning that we would take serious the reality that you will show back up. And we'll be held accountable for all the things that we say and do. And Lord, let us live like those servants that you gave the talents to, that you gave them, that they'd do something with gain. So when you showed up, they got to hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Let us journey in that direction. We love you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to be in Luke 12, starting in verse 34. I'm going to read those verses to you. But before we do that, I want to talk about something that happens. We should always pay attention. Anytime we're in a piece of Scripture and we're reading through things that are going on, usually there's a continuation of things that he's saying. There's a continuation of why he's saying this at this point. And we're going to be in 35, but there's several things that happened before this. He told them about not being anxious, about acknowledging them before men. But he has this other parable in verse 13. It's this parable of the rich fool. And this ties in real good to what we're talking about today. But the parable of the rich fool, this farmer, he has a great year. The crops are more than he's ever been. He doesn't have enough room to put them. And he tears down his barn and he builds a bigger barn. And he fills that big barn up and he sits there and goes, "Now I can rest." And he dies that very day. And the idea here is some of us are building a barn for security for a future that we don't have. And for things that don't really matter. And let me look. Sometimes when I talk like this, people are like, "Okay, I need to quit my job. I need to go to full-time ministry." No, I'm not saying any of that. You can stay exactly where you're at, depending on some variables. You can stay there and serve God. You can stay there and see the fruit of what God is doing in your life. So let's jump into these five verses. And there's nine that continue on this dialogue that I for time's sake, I'm not going to go through. The first five, you'll get it, and he kind of keeps repeating the same kind of idea. Starting in verse 35, Luke 12. It says, "Stay dressed for action and keep your lamps burning and be like men who are waiting for their master to come home from the wedding feast so that they may open the door to him at once when he comes and knocks. Blessed are those servants who the master finds awake when he comes. Truly, I say to you, he will dress himself for service and have them recline at table, and he will come and serve them. If he comes in the second watch or in the third watch and finds them awake, blessed are those servants. But know this, that if the master of the house knew what hour the thief was coming, he would not have left his house to be broken into. You must always be ready, For the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. The danger of being over 2,000 years since Jesus came, died, resurrected, ascended to the Father, and laid out a promise of His return. The more years that pass, it's really easy to be like, ha-ha, we got plenty of time. And again, I'm not here to say next week, next month, and here, if you really want to know my eschatology, which just means my thoughts and understandings of the end times, is that Jesus will return. That's my eschatology. That's a guarantee. And He'll return at a moment that you're not ready for it. And so this text today is all about staying ready. Verse 35. Stay dressed for action and keep your lamps burning. Okay. Dress for action. Most of the men in this room aren't wearing flowing robes. Robes. You got pants or shorts on. You're ready. Like if something happened, like, You could get out of here, but this idea of dress for action, in this culture, men wore long robes, and when it was time to work, run, or fight, they would gird up their loins, which sounds weird, you know. But they would literally take this, wrap it around, tuck it in their belt so they could. When Peter and John ran to see that empty tomb, they or maybe Peter didn't because he was slower than John, I don't know. But it was this idea of like you're getting ready for action. So dress for action equals remove anything that would slow down or trip you up. You can't follow Jesus well if you're spiritually tangled up. So what is slowing you down? In Hebrews 12, verse 1, tells us to throw off or lay aside everything that hinders us. Right now, unless you take holiness and purity and the fear of the Lord very serious, there's probably things that are clinging to your life that are slowing you down. There's probably things that are in the way of the calling that God has placed on your life. And the author of Hebrews is like, you better lay this aside. You know, just walk around with some weight on you for an extended period of time and then lay that weight off and see how much easier and better, how much, you know, like get that ruck off your back. That's a book bag with a steel plate in it. It's dumb, I know. People do it. Paul says something very similar to this first line in 1 Corinthians 16, which if you're a man in here, you should know this verse. If you do brotherhood, it's going to be a verse that one of the books is based off of. 1 Corinthians 16 says this, "Be watchful, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong, let all that you do be done in love." Act like men. We could spend a lot of time talking about what that means, and that's partly, not that brotherhood's going to answer all those questions, but we're going to deal with a fair amount of them. And so not only does he say, get dressed and ready, he said, keep those lamps burning. Keep the lights on. In this time period, it was work to keep the lamp burning. You had to keep an eye on the oil and to make sure that you had extra. If you want to just remember, there's a parable about the 10 virgins, and some of them had extra oil, some of them didn't, and there was praise for the ones that had extra. But if you're going to keep that light burning, because you know, guess what he's going to talk about in a little bit, if he comes in the middle of the night and you got to run to the door to open it, it is very helpful to have a little light going on. It's not like our today, like if you come to my house, you're like, oh, you know, he's up at 4:45. They have a lamp in my Most of the time I am up, like 4 or 5 days a week, I am up at that time. At 4:45 in the morning, there's a lamp that turns on downstairs in my house. At 6 o'clock at night, my exterior lights turn on, and they stay on to 6 o'clock in the morning. You'd be like, man, the light's on. See, I don't have to put any thought into that after it's been programmed, but in this day and age, it was work to, like, I got to make sure that this thing is burning and ready. So why would you do these two things? Why would you be ready? Why would you keep the oil and the lamp going? Verse 36. It says, and be like men who are waiting for their master to come home from the wedding feast. Weddings in that day wasn't just one event. It could go on for days. It could be an extended period of time. So there wasn't like, hey, the wedding's at 7 o'clock and it's going to be done at 10:30 and he's probably going to be home at like 11. You didn't know what time he was going to show up. But it says, so that they may open the door to him at once when he comes and knocks at the door. They are expecting his return. I don't think most Christians live like they're expecting the return of Jesus. They're expecting that they have all the time in the world to do whatever they want, or I think their lives would be a little bit different. But here he's talking about they were expecting his return. They were ready to respond immediately, without delay, without hesitation. Our readiness shows up in how quickly you will obey. I heard this one guy, he came and preached here years ago, and I stole it from him. But one of the telltale signs of how spiritually mature you are is how quickly you are to repent. When you do something stupid, do something that you know that Holy Spirit is convicting you of, and it's really hard for men to say, I'm sorry. Well, I can only speak for me. And women. See, everything applies both ways. But I'm just going to say, it's real easy to be like, get that conviction and be like, no, I don't want to say it. But I think a sign of maturity is you do something that you shouldn't have. You say something you shouldn't have. You act in a way that you shouldn't have. Maturity is acknowledging that quickly. Delayed obedience. Parents, you'll love this one. Delayed obedience is still what? Disobedience. Verse 37. Blessed are those servants whom the master finds awake when he comes. Truly, I say to you, he will dress himself. Listen to this, because I think if you read through it quickly, you're confused who it's talking about. I'm going to explain this. He will dress himself, this is the master, for service, and have them recline at table, the servant, and he will come and serve them. Jesus rewards readiness. And notice what it says. It didn't say, blessed are those servants, not just the perfect ones, the perfect servants, not the impressive servants, but he just says, faithful and ready servants. Some of us may sit in here and we're listening to this and be like, man, I mess up so many things. There is grace for that. But look, he's looking for faithful and ready, not perfect. Faithful and ready. You see the grace that the master extends to the faithful? This time, the master ties up his robe to serve them. There, the faithful servant is given a place of rest, honor, and relationship. This is the God we serve. This is the God who's asking of us. Look, our God has done almost all the things that He's asking us to do. Like in the flesh, He's done these things even when it wasn't easy, even when it wasn't comfortable. Remember, He was the one that washed the feet of the disciples. And in this culture, like feet were disgusting. They were in sandals. They weren't in nice socks. They might be sweaty when you take your socks off, but like they don't have like dust, debris, and poop on them. And Jesus, the Lord of the universe, wrapped a towel around His waist and got on His hands and knees and started washing feet. And they were offended by it. Peter was like, you ain't washing my feet. And Jesus said, if you don't allow me to wash your feet, you'll have no part of me. And then Peter goes, okay, wash everything. I'll take it all. And then Jesus is telling him, like, look, those that have taken a shower, you only need to wash your feet. There's lots of things I don't have time to get into, but that's the Jesus that's talking about this same thing. He was the one that said, I came not to be served, but to serve. He gave up His life on the cross. Why wouldn't we serve that kind of God? I think every time we're reluctant in serving God, it's because our view and our picture and our understanding of who God is and what He's done for us is wrong. We think leadership means being served. And Jesus said, real leadership looks like serving. I'm going to say this to men, women, this applies to you too, but I got to motivate some men today, okay? Look, strong men serve people. Weak men demand to be served. Which are you? And like wives, I'm gonna give you some ammunition, and I'm gonna see how spiritually mature you are. Because you could be like, come ask me, Heath. But if I were to have a conversation with your wife right now, would she say you serve her well? Don't elbows. Just keep your hands to yourself. Don't look at them. I'm not looking around the room. I don't want to be like, preach it. But this is the master that we follow. And our wives should be the most loved and served women in our lives. Our children should see the way that we husbands love our wives, my daughters. I want them to go, this is the type. Now there's things of me that they probably don't want, but I want them to be like, this is the kind of man that I'm looking for. I want my son to understand, because you know there's things, my son who's 22, you know, sometimes he says dumb things because he's dumb at 22. You know, just all of us are, our brains don't fully develop. They say to 25, it's probably more like 35. But I want him to know, like, we take responsibility in our house. Like, I don't want to be like, oh, you know, Jody cleans the dishes. No, like, we share responsibility. I want to be like, I know what my wife appreciates, and I have all the effort and energy in me to do it. And let me tell you, if your mouth says, I love you, but you don't look for things to serve your wife, then your actions aren't telling her anything. And I'm sorry if I'm stirring fights. If I'm stirring fights right now, come to Brotherhood. We'll help fix those things, and then everything's going to be good. I'm going to tell you, if you do Brotherhood and you take this serious, wives, if your husband does Brotherhood and takes this serious, that's the key part there, your life will be better. There we go. But men, we're not taking you just because your wife told you to come, okay? So if that's your only reason for doing Brotherhood, wait until next year. Verse 38. If he comes in the second watch or the third watch and finds them awake, this is why he said keep the lamps burning, blessed are those servants. But know this, that if the master of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have left the house to be broken into. It jumps into these, like, why are we talking about a thief? Because the idea here is a thief comes, like, thieves don't call you during the week, being like, I'm planning to break into your house at 1:30 while you're dead asleep, and I'm going to steal some things. I just want to let you know. They don't do that. And it's the same thing with the return. People are going to be like, what? I'm not ready. Just like the thief. He's saying, hey, you need to be ready. Staying ready is inconvenient. Let me tell you, if you want to be good at anything, that means you need to be consistent at it. You need to keep doing it. And being ready for the Lord is going to be inconvenient for you. Hear me. If you're going to serve the Lord, if you're going to know the Lord, if you're going to develop an intimacy with the Lord, you're going to have to say no to other things that you may enjoy, that may bring you pleasure, because you want to stay ready. Remember, the master that we are waiting for is worth the inconvenience. And hear this, the issue isn't knowledge. Some of you know exactly what you should be doing all the time. It's preparedness. Are you ready? Are you taking this information that you know, and are you applying it to your life? James has this idea that it's like, it's a man, the person who knows the word or reads the word but doesn't do what the word said, it's like a man who looks intently at his face in the mirror and then leaves and forgets what he looks like. He forgot there's, you know, little dried boogers in his nose and there's something running down his face and his hair is messed up. But he goes in the closet and gets dressed and walks out of the house and looks ridiculous. The man who reads the word and applies it, is he cleans out his, he washes his face, he fixes his hair, he gets a little product. Maybe not product. Some of y'all just judged me because I said product with men's hair. Okay. I got some, and it's made of tallow. Can you get any more manly than that? You're a vegan in here, I'm sorry. Unless you don't know what tallow is, and don't look it up. Okay. So you don't schedule, you don't get to schedule when you are called to be obedient. It just happens. That's typically how this relationship with Jesus is. Almost always it comes at the most inconvenient parts of your life where he's saying, you have to do this, you have to go here. He wants you to be willing to allow your life to be interrupted so he can intervene with things that are going on. And so you must be ready all the time. Our U.S. military does training after training after training because they want their people to be ready when this thing happens. Like if they never did anything other than boot camp, and then they never trained again, there's no muscle memory to all these things that they have to do, we would not have a very good fighting force. And some of us are like that. We went to boot camp, we got saved, we read our Bible for a little bit, and it's been years before we practiced anything. To be ready, we have to be consistent. Verse 40. You must also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. This is not optional, it says must. The Son of Man comes at an unexpected hour. This is a command, not a suggestion. For all those that feel like it's too late, I can't really accomplish anything. Maybe you're older than me, which I'm pretty old. You know, I'm going to be 50 real soon. Senior pastor! So just in case you think that your age is an excuse, let me just tell you, if you saw this video and you're like, I'm too old for that, no. Ain't nobody too old for that. So listen to this. And we're going to let Caleb out of Joshua, those that are reading the one in your Bibles, you read this in Joshua 14. Man, I felt like anyway. Let me remind you that Caleb, at the age of 85, after sitting on the sideline for 40 years, was ready to fight for one more hill on a land that God had promised him 40 years ago, even though it was filled with giants. He told Joshua, he's like, I'm as strong now as I was then. Man, do you think that he sat around doing nothing for those 40 years? Do you think he sat around, you know, flipping through Netflix and Amazon Prime, watching the new shows, and you know? No, my man, if he's at 85 saying, I'm just as strong then, he was preparing. And you know what else he could have done? Do you think that he let bitterness take root and take away his future? Because this, if you don't know the story, Joshua and Caleb were two of the 12 spies that went into the promised land, and they were the only ones that came back and said, it's ours. The other 10 were like, there's giants, there's fortified cities, we're going to lose. Fear went through the city, and God punished them and let that generation die away. So everyone 20 years old and older died over the next 40 years other than these two guys, Joshua and Caleb. And as all of his friends, all of his generation died in front of his eyes, he could be like, y'all made me waste 40 years. He could let bitterness, I think it's in Hebrews 12, it says, do not miss the grace of God and let the root of bitterness grow up inside of you so that it defiles many. Some of us in this room, that's exactly what's going on in your life. And it may not be your issue. This wasn't Caleb's issue. That 40 years wasn't a punishment to him. It was something that he had to endure. And the only thing that kept him going is that God promised in the moment. Like they had already fought all these other kings, and it was his time. He was like, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go. Like, come on, let's go. I mean, like when an 85-year-old man is standing in front of you saying, hey, we're going to take this hill, you know what all them younger people probably did? They better felt ashamed and said, like, if he's ready to go, let's go. And he took his land, 85 years old. No, he said, I'm still as strong today as I was when the promise was made. And his faith for that promise didn't linger for 40 years. And let me just tell you, for those that don't like that idea of having to wait, that's the story of the Bible. Abraham promised a child 25 years later. Joseph promised that his brothers and parents were going to bow down and he would be elevated 17 years later. Caleb and Joshua, 40 years. There's story after story. Like, we read Paul and we think, man, he just jumped right into it. I think it was like 12 years before he really got into ministry after that encounter where he was blinded and knocked off the mule. See, Caleb didn't age out. He leaned in. There's no retirement from following Jesus. My pastor back home used to say all the time, we're from Pinehurst, Southern Pines. He would also, okay, let me just say this, because he'll be here soon and you can look at him and realize that he's silly. We were in the county of Pinehurst, and for those that know golf, you know the U.S. Open's been there like 5 or 6 different times, and he'd say, I don't play golf, I'm a Christian. I'm like, Randy, like, golf community, man. But he would also say all the time, he'd say, you don't retire, you refire. And let me just tell you, your greatest potential is probably ahead of you. If you've been wasting your time chasing what fills your bank account or what fills your garage or how big your house is, and you've been wasting your time on those, finally you're like, okay, I'm here, what do I do? If you're looking for something to do, there you could accomplish more in these few years that you have left than you did your entire life, because all it takes is a willing and faithful person to say, I am yours. That's what Caleb did. So hear me. Everything that we've talked about today, being ready, denying yourself last week, taking responsibility, finishing strong, that can feel heavy. Because if you're honest, you're probably thinking, I'm not there. I've drifted. I've wasted time. I've messed this thing up. And you're probably right. You're probably not ready on your own. But that's where the gospel, or why the gospel matters. Jesus didn't just call you to be ready. He came for a people that wasn't ready. He lived perfectly where you haven't. He stayed faithful where you drifted, and he went to the cross in your place. So don't miss this. You don't follow Jesus to be saved. You don't follow Jesus to get his grace and favor. You follow Jesus because you have been saved, because you have experienced His grace. You have seen His mercy. So today isn't about trying harder. It's about surrender. See, for most men, we want a task to accomplish. And the hard thing about our spiritual life, it is not a list that you can just check off. There's a lot of people, and you know I love checking a box, there's a lot of people that are going to have list after list, consistent after consistent of boxes they've checked that have missed Jesus, that have done church stuff, that have showed up for things, but they've missed the person of Jesus. This is your moment. Where have you drifted? What have you been putting off? And where are you not ready? Today, you get to decide who's leading your life and who you're going to follow. Because I said this last week, you're following something or someone, even if you're not aware of it. There's some ideology, there's some thought pattern, there's something that's driving you. And just for a side note, this is much easier to stand firm and be ready when you surround yourself with others that are doing the same thing, which is what brotherhood is going to be. I'm going to put you in a group of 4 or 5 guys over 6 months. And for those ladies, there's like, where's the sisterhood at? Well, it's called the Lydia Group. It's going to be on the 2nd of May at 9 o'clock. Where's she at? 9 o'clock, okay. I'm going to invite our worship team back up. So how do we stay ready, step up, and finish strong? Or why do we do it? And that comes when you stop living for just today and you start living for that moment that you will stand before Jesus. Look, no one can fix all your problems. There's no group, even though I wish Brotherhood or Lydia Group, if you came to it and were faithful there, you would be perfect. Can't promise that. But what we can promise is that one movement, one step forward and another step forward, if you're heading in the right direction, will always be leading you home. And so if you find yourself this morning overwhelmed with the reality of how much you've drifted or where you're at in life, here's the invitation. Jesus will be, from the moment you say yes to Him, which could be right now, and every day after that will be saying, hey, walk with me. Matthew 11, 28 says, Come to me, all you are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. A yoke is tethered to another animal, and that's what Jesus is saying. He's like, put on this yoke that your shoulder to shoulder with me, and let's do this together. Jesus is not calling you to figure this out on your own. Jesus is saying, hey, I want to participate in this journey with you. Let me bless you, and then I'm going to pray for us. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Father, we need a healthy dose of the fear of the Lord. The reality that You are going to show up and we will be held accountable. We may make it in, but Lord, we want to do more than just make it into Your kingdom. We want to hear those words, well done, good and faithful servant. And so what that means today is we surrender. So Lord, I pray that You take the person in this room that feels like, man, I've been around it, I've been near it, and I know things about Him, but I don't follow Jesus. I haven't surrendered my life to Jesus. I'm not trusting in Him for my salvation. Lord, I pray that You would call them into Your kingdom today, that You would speak that loving, welcoming invitation that says, lay down all your efforts and all your energy and all these things that you've been trying to make yourself better and surrender to me, trust in me. And Lord, I pray that you would bring salvation to those. And Lord, I pray for the rest of us in this room that we just need to be reminded over and over again that we have a purpose and a calling, and we want to change our families. We want to see our children follow you, know you. We want to see our communities better, and that won't happen unless we step up. And so, Lord, would you give us a call this morning to follow? Not attend, not to be a fan, but to follow you as Lord and Savior. We love you and we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today on the Reach Community Church podcast. We'd love to have you join us next Sunday. You can learn more about our mission at reachcommunitychurch.com.